We're fortunate to have with us tonight Philip Weiss, founder and co-editor of the online publication Mondo Weiss, that covers Middle East issues and lots more. Philip, thanks so much for making time to come on the program tonight. Hi, Philip. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So we're glad you could be here tonight. As I just mentioned to the audience, it's Memorial Day 2016. There's a lot of discussion about the sacrifice and heroism of those who've died in wars around the world on behalf of the United States. And one of the really hazardous flashpoints in the world for many decades now is Israel and the Middle East in general. And I think the fight against ISIS, the debacle in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan has really, I think, taken a lot of focus off the ongoing conflict in Israel and Palestine. But we'd like to put some focus on that this evening. And Philip, before we get into some of the recent developments that I'm eager to talk about, and I know you are too, tell our audience about the work you do at Mondo Weiss.
Well, I have, for 10 years, I've run a blog and now a website that focuses on Israel and Palestine from a progressive Jewish perspective, and that also focuses on the role of the Israel lobby in American politics. So I'm very focused on that question. I'm very focused on changes in Jewish life, and our writers are generally interested in, I'd say the most important value on the site is probably the issue of Palestinian human rights, which for the first time has, and actually, as we predicted, for the first time has broken into the presidential campaign in a serious manner, at least in living memory anyway, with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton mixing it up over the question, and with the real likelihood of a platform battle ahead of the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia between Sanders forces and Clinton forces over Palestinian human rights.
Right.
So and I wait for my own work to the scene. Sorry if to go on.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we're going to get to that topic. An exciting development, I think, that we'll get into some depth on. But as we begin here, I wanted to talk about one of the biggest news stories and consequential news stories over the last week, and that was the decision by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to appoint far-right extremist Avigdor Lieberman as Israel's new defense minister. It's caused a lot of ripples in Israel itself and around the world, and I wondered if you've give us your overview of the significance of this particular appointment.
Well, it's a huge development in Israeli politics, and though I'm an American and I know the American political scene and have trouble keeping up with the Israeli scene, arguably this is sort of the most important political shift inside leadership culture, ruling class of Israel in the last 20, 25 years, in which the last defense minister, Moshe Yalon, quit, a pretty right-wing guy, quit the coalition saying that there were fascist trends in Israel and in the political class, and was replaced by, as you say, with this right-wing figure, even further right-wing figure, Avigdor Lieberman, who has threatened to blow up the Aswan Dam, who has said that any Palestinian who attempts an act of terror should have his head cut off, that kind of stuff. So he's a very crude and somewhat at times fascistic leader, Lieberman, and you have this other segment of the Israeli political class saying that the currents there are reminiscent of Nazi Germany, one said. So it's kind of staggering that this is happening. And you have also Israeli political observers speaking of this in apocalyptic tones, and some suggesting that there could even be a coup in the country against Netanyahu.
Really? Talk about that a bit. What's the response in the Israeli military that would create discussion or rumors about a potential coup d'etat to overthrow Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government?
Well, the professional security and military class of that society, the generals and intelligence directors in the Israeli government, have for years been murmuring about Netanyahu's judgment. So when Netanyahu opposed the Iran deal last year and came to the Congress to oppose the Iran deal, there were retired security officials in Israel, leading former intelligence chiefs, who said, "We've got to accept this deal. Why is he opposing this? This is not in Israel's interest to alienate the United States over a deal that is a fait accompli and that is just going to shift the power balance." But, of course, Netanyahu talked about it as an existential threat to Israel. So there is a profound difference of understanding in of what the interest of that society is between these military professionals and a much more ideological person like Netanyahu. And it came to a head in a very interesting way when on March 24th an Israeli medic in the occupied territories was videotaped calmly going up to a wounded Palestinian who was who had allegedly been involved in an attack on an Israeli soldier but was now incapacitated, lying on the street. This medic went up after consulting with an officer and shot this guy in the head, executing him. The video went around the world, became viral, obviously, very quickly, because it showed what was, in essence, a tribal murder, sectarian murder, in the occupied territories. And while the military leaders condemned the medic's behavior, Netanyahu said, we have to look at the whole context. These are our children who serve us here. And he even called the medic's parents after the guy had been charged with manslaughter. The military leaders were appalled. Some of the military leaders were appalled by the political leadership's treatment of this medic. Others in the Netanyahu cabinet said very forgiving things about this medic who had done, as I say, this just horrific execution that any society, if it were on video, would have to condemn. And so you had a split between the political leaders who were echoing the sentiments of Israeli society. Israelis overwhelmingly, Jewish Israelis overwhelmingly supported this guy in this horrifying murder. And the brass, the military brass said, hey, in essence, we have to run an occupation, an illegal occupation. It's a hard thing to do, and you are turning these Palestinians into our, and all Palestinians into our enemy. You're justifying racial murder, and on that basis, a deputy chief of staff of the army gave a speech saying that there were strains in Israeli society reminiscent of Nazi Germany. And then Yalon, the defense minister, spoke of fascistic trends in Israeli society when he resigned the defense ministry. So this is a profound split, I would say. And regardless of the fact that these very military officials have been responsible for massacres and occupation and raiding Palestinian, countless human rights abuses, they have a line, even they have a line. And the Israeli political class has crossed that line. And so you have Israeli leaders saying what the left in the United States has said and get censored for saying there's fascistic trends in that society. We in the left have said there are fascistic trends in that society. And we get shut out and told we're anti-Semitic or whatever. Well, now you have Israeli political leaders saying there are fascistic trends in this society.
Philip, What's been the response to Benjamin Netanyahu's appointment of Avigdor Lieberman to become Israel's defense minister? What kind of ripples have moved across the world because of this appointment?
On the one hand, there's been some horror over it, and Lieberman is a guy who was refused admission at the State Department last year. They didn't want him coming in because he was too polarizing a figure, who had said things like the two-state solution, we want nothing to do it, you know, we're finished with that. So the political class in the United States is obviously very upset about this, but they've indicated that the special relationship between the countries will continue. You know, they're still our closest ally and all the rest in the Middle East. But among defenders of Israel, there has been a real crisis. The crisis that I talk about in the political class in Israel is reflected by a crisis in the Israel lobby in the United States. So these people who spend their lives defending Israel have been in a lot of pain lately. How do they justify this? How do they explain this to Americans? And how do they act as if Israel is fine? And some of them have been saying, this is shocking and horrifying, and we need to give the society a wake-up call, I guess. And others have said, no, everything's fine. This is Israel is a vibrant democracy, robust debate. This is just what happens over there. People disagree, that kind of stuff. So I think that what we're going to see, we are seeing a crisis. Whether that crisis results in a profound shift in stances or values among the Israel-supporting groups, the Israel lobby, whether that creates any real political shift, we have yet to see. But it may create just that shift inside Israeli society, and it's just going to be, I think it's fascinating. It's just completely fascinating. The possibility exists here. If you're optimistic about this society's ability to change, or any reactionary society's ability to change, because I think Israeli Jewish society is reactionary, witness the cabinet meeting supporting this murdering medic. If you have any hope about the society reforming itself in a bloodless fashion, then you have to hope that the defense minister's resignation and the warnings about fascism could result in some real shift in the political choices of the leadership, or a segment of the leadership of Israeli society. So one possibility that exists is that Yalon, this defense minister, would actually create a new party that would be non-Zionist, non-racist. I would hope that might come to pass. I don't know that it's very likely. It certainly has been notioned. But I think that's what people, liberal Zionists in the United States, and people who hope for a peaceful resolution of this conflict, hope that there could be a positive development from this crisis.
Philip, what do we know about the Obama administration and their views on this? Have they said much publicly about such an extremist and polarizing figure being appointed to such a sensitive position in the Israeli cabinet?
I have not seen any strong demur publicly from the State Department or the Obama administration. I haven't followed everything this weekend, but the immediate indication was, they appoint their own defense minister, so we'll work with Israeli officials. One has to say that the Donald Trump news is, you have Obama condemning some of Donald Trump's stances, and Israelis have pointed this out, that, hey, you guys are going through some pretty profound political changes over there, too. I don't think they're the same. The Israeli ones are essentially constitutional questions. But it's true that we also have our reactionary right-wing figures who are threatening to take power.
We're speaking with Philip Weiss tonight here on Counterpoint, founder and co-editor of the online publication Mondo Weiss, which covers Israeli, Palestinian, and Middle East issues. Philip, what is the worst that can happen here? Avigdor Lieberman, the new defense minister, is well known for his caustic and hateful and what many would characterize as vile remarks, particularly about Palestinians and what he'd like to do with the Palestinians in terms of evacuating them out of the country and other really just beyond the pale kind of rhetoric. Is there anything to suggest that Avigdor Lieberman has a lot of rhetoric but does not have the capacity to execute policy to back it up now that he's got this very powerful position within the Netanyahu administration?
I think it's scary to think what could happen because one of the things that the generals have said, according to the Israeli press, is that Netanyahu launched "quote unquote" superfluous wars against Gaza. They were against the Gaza slaughter of 2014. They killed 2,200 people, 500 children. So the possibility exists that there could be further ethnic cleansing, further massacres of Palestinians. I don't think, obviously, global opinion is something of a restraint on them now, because Israel is becoming isolated and is facing greater pressure through the BDS movement and European pressures. But I want to say on the plus side, the potential exists that, we're always hoping for a declaric moment in that society. And I guess I've referred to that already, the possibility that a declaric would emerge who could say, this society's gone off the rails politically, and we have to change profoundly. We have to end the racism in our society or struggle against the racism.
And that's a reference to the former South African head of state who moved to negotiate a peace with the African National Congress, right?
Yes, it's all the writing on the wall. And I think that there are a lot of people in Israeli society, in Israeli leadership, and in the Israel lobby who say, this is unsustainable. This is constitutionally an unsustainable society when you have 6 million people of a different race and religion who do not have the right to vote for the government that controls their lives on a racial religious basis largely. That's a problem. So it's just not going away with the occupation. So that is that's always been the profound issue constitutionally with Israel, is that establishes this sort of one state of control, is that half the people don't have rights. So I just will want to emphasize, when you ask what the worst thing that can happen is, one of the fascinating things that observers of this conflict say is that Palestinian resistance is essentially sewn up. And one observer, Norman Finkelstein, said recently that the Palestinians are essentially a defeated people right now. So in the West Bank, they have very little autonomy. They're not armed. The violent resistance, the peaceful resistance, both are smashed down by the Israeli army. And so the amount of resistance in Palestinian society is pretty small. And yet what I think we may be seeing is that that is not going to end resistance to Zionism inside Israeli society. And that is the thing I'm most hopeful about, that the people who have greater freedom here, the Israeli Jews, some of them may at last be realizing that Zionism, whatever its idealistic roots and whatever strains of it were seen as a deliverance or liberation movement for Jews, Zionism has turned out to be a very ugly system, and that Jews also need to be freed from that system. And I find the most inspiring thing about this Yalom moment is the suggestion that Israel's Declaration of Independence, which actually says that all people are equal, that's being cited as a founding document, and some Israeli political figures are, I think, sensing what any reasonable person senses, which is that Zionism has run its course and proved to be a failure.
Philip Weiss, thank you so much for being here. We only have a couple of minutes left, and we want to leave enough time to touch on the important development you mentioned earlier tonight, and that is presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, running for the Democratic Party nomination, had an opportunity to appoint five members to a Democratic Party platform writing committee. He appointed some very well-known progressive activists that included Bill McKibben, the climate change activist, founder of 350.org, Native American activist Deborah Parker, progressive caucus co-chair, Representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota, and James Zogby, president of the Arab American Institute. Philip, tell us what the opportunities are and what you hear about the goals of Sanders' representatives on this important platform writing committee in terms of changes to the Democrats' approach to the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Well, Sanders set a depth charge on April 14th in New York when he told Hillary Clinton that Netanyahu is not always right. And he is determined through these appointments to put some more even-handed policy toward Palestinians inside the Democratic platform. Will it be a fight? Will the Hillary Clinton people give in on this and then run away from the platform? Who knows? But from my narrow standpoint, and not the climate change issue you mentioned and the economic equity issues that you also, that some of these people represent, you have Keith Ellison, a Muslim, Zogby, and Cornel West, who are going to insist on Palestinian human rights. And that is just such a landmark and just a wonderful moment and could suggest a real shift in American political culture, because Sanders has not been defeated for taking the stand. The Democratic base has supported him, and that's key, is that young liberals in America are increasingly sympathetic to Palestinians over Israelis.
Just lastly, we only have about a minute, but what kind of changes have we seen in American public opinion related to Israel and Israel's occupation of Palestinian lands?
There are subtle changes, but there has been a gradual movement toward much greater sympathy toward Palestinians, especially since the Gaza slaughter of 2014 and through Netanyahu's remarkable and audacious intervention in American politics a year ago to try to stop the Iran deal. Americans are getting more information from sites like mine, as opposed to the mainstream press, which tends to be pro-Israel, and they are beginning to see Palestinians as human beings, not terrorists. And it's extremely dramatic. I'm very involved in this, so I tend to magnify every little thing, but I really think we're approaching a moment where Americans finally accept that Israel is not a democracy.
Well, Philip, we're out of time. Thank you so much for spending time with us on this Memorial Day holiday, and leave our listeners with just a bit of information about why they should visit the Mondo Weiss website and the resources that are available there. I'll certainly recommend it as a great place to find lots of information you're not going to see in corporate media.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. Great questions, and I'm sorry if I went on too long.
Not at all, but the website and resources?
Oh, MondoWeiss.net. There's a lot of information on there, a lot of writers, and an alternative view of obviously an extremely complex and historically important conflict.
All right, Philip, thanks so much. We'll look forward to staying in touch and keeping track of what the Bernie representatives on this important committee are going to come up with. Should be fascinating and maybe move the country in a little bit of a different direction.
Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. That's Philip Weiss, founder and co-editor of the online publication MondoWeiss.net.